I think initially you come into a country like this or an area like this and you see the people, you see a lifestyle that's probably been going on for thousands of years, if not hundreds of thousands of years. Everybody's perfectly happy. It's clearly something that works.
Peter Jones.
There aren't a lot of the social problems that you get in city life, for example. And you think, wouldn't it be nice if it could stay like that way forever? But the longer you stay, the longer you realize that it can't stay like that forever. And therefore, you've got to start thinking about what would be the best thing to happen to the Hadza in Tanzania right now. And if they stay like this for much longer, they'll get left behind. The women will marry into other tribes, the children will be raised to some other tribe, and the Hadza will actually cease to exist. In 30 or 40 years, you'll simply have a population of old men and women living in other communities that remember the language and maybe tell stories about what they did when they were children. And that's the thing that begins to bother me now, because with their so-called lack of development, they'll get squeezed out and individuals will leave the community and they'll fade away. So given that the development or the change is inevitable, it's a real problem to try and figure out what kinds of things can be done so that the Hadza can exist as a community.
Speculate for a moment on the Hadza in, say, 20 years' time. How do you think they might live?
I'm sure there will be some small communities or some families of Hadza, and they'll probably be living on the fringes of agricultural areas, probably doing part-time work in the fields and then out in the bush when the going is good. The other thing that the Hadza will probably do is increase their hunting efforts to trade meat with local agriculturalists, because for the Wa'irak, who have their farms nearby, they have a lot of maize meal, but not very much meat. So meat and honey will always be items that the Hadza have access to because of their experience and the way they like to live, which will be in demand by agriculturalists. So it won't be long before most of the Hadza that remain up here will be men that can't get wives and therefore can't produce Hadza children. And so there won't be much of a community life like you described in Australia. Other stories that I've heard from Australia are where anthropologists have been working with groups that live out in the bush and go hunting every day, but they go hunting with rifles and they travel around in pickup trucks. Now, I don't think that'll happen to the Hadza either. I don't think Tanzania will be affluent enough, quickly enough, for them to be able to afford to do that.
I've heard that there have been various schemes put forward at times in the last 10 years for the Hadza that want to leave Hadzaland to be employed as attendants, workers in game parks, where they could be involved in culling animals and using traditional skills in some way, but adapting them as a way of enabling them to survive without becoming agriculturalists.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility, but I don't think it's necessarily the agriculture that the Hadza are shying away from when the past settlement schemes have failed. I think it's perhaps any kind of settled existence. It would be nice if the Hadza could do something like that. They understand the bush so well, but they would have to severely change their attitudes to the wildlife to make it work. Their involvement with wildlife is killing it rather than protecting it. So that's the attitude they'd need to change.
What about the attitude of the Hadza to the land around them? They have some notion of keeping the land intact for them to live off. Could you talk a bit about that?
I'm not sure if the Hadza do really think of the land as theirs. And the reason is that up until just about now, or the last 5 years, there's always been lots of land. Traditionally, they probably had no sense of ownership. People perhaps tended to live or spend most of the year in a certain area, but it wasn't theirs. They couldn't stop anyone moving in, nor would they want to. And if there were any pressures through too many people, they would simply be able to move. So I think that they're finding it hard to actually develop the idea that this land has been theirs for generations and generations, and that they have some kind of a right to stop people coming in.